there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Up under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master on the mend. Had some skin cancer cut off this week. Three places, two on my neck, one on my back. It's keeping me dry, very frustrated. So all I am doing to compensate is talking about my adventures and sharing the video with Bill, the producer, and friends, and basically showing them why or what they're missing when I go out on my adventures, because I can't do anything now. I'm missing the end of Florida spiny lobster season, too. This just blows. This just blows. So wear your reef safe, okay? Wear your sunscreen. Don't be like me and have it cut into your dive time, your bottom time. I mean, it just stinks. I mean, so wear a rash guard, wear sunscreen, do whatever you got to do. Put on a morph suit. That's what I'm going to have to resort to if this keeps up. But it's very frustrating. It hurts. I'm in pain today. So if I sound a little angry or angrier than normal, you'll know where it's coming from. Fair enough? I'm angry!
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right.
I'm a little put out.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's a few things we're going to delve into that, we might as well get the thing out of the way that I'm angry about, since I'm on this rant already. I'm already in that frame of mind.
Let's do that.
You know, we talked about this a few months ago. You know, we do the show out of Orlando, Florida. You know, SeaWorld is in our backyard. And, you know, a few months ago, they had that, this quote-unquote documentary that aired on CNN called Blackfish. Was not a fan. I thought it was a hatchet job on SeaWorld. And, you know, I'm not a fan of whales in captivity, so don't jump up in arms if you're, you know, all about that. I would prefer to see them in the wild as well. Okay, but going after SeaWorld the way that movie did, I just didn't feel it was fair. I didn't, you know, it was a one-sided argument, you know, and, you know, what has happened as a result, I mean, there was a article in the paper this week in Orlando that actually showed that SeaWorld's attendance was down slightly, but they don't reflect or say it had nothing to do with the movie. And actually, revenue was up because they raised their ticket prices. So they may add a couple percent lower in attendance this past year, but they actually made more money, and people spent more money inside the park. So they seem to be doing fine despite what you might see on CNN. And the latest thing is out in California, some legislator, I don't know, did you see this, Bill?
No. Where
there's some legislator out in California has put out a bill to basically make SeaWorld illegal, not allowed to have performing whales or captive whales in the state of California. And obviously it was based on this whole Blackfish thing. And, you know, the people that put it out there, the representative put it out there, she's an animal rights activist. And, you know, hey, she has a right to her opinion and all that kind of thing. But she's basically, they're trying to put SeaWorld out of business.
Okay.
Legislatively, based on a quote-unquote documentary that is a hatchet job. I mean, it's just not, it is not fair.
All right, I'm going to play devil's advocate just for a couple minutes
here. All right.
We are expecting Chris Pipes to call from Deepwater Cay.
Right.
Deepwater Key.
But, yes.
But he isn't on the phone line yet. When he gets in, I'll let you know. But other side of this page. Let's say that the legislator who brought this forward wasn't necessarily doing it as a reaction to this Blackfish, and we'll call it a documentary because...
No, absolutely she was.
Let's just say she's an animal rights activist,
mm-hmm.
and that she doesn't believe that mammals should be held in captivity. I think it's perfectly legitimate for her to have that opinion and to present legislation, and then it gets voted on, and it gets decided whether or not it's going to be the law of California or not. And I don't think that there's going to be enough support for legislation, because I think that what that'll bring up is it'll bring up the debate of what is better.
Yeah.
Not having a place where large animals like orca are able to be rehabilitated from the wild,
mm-hmm.
where there's, because the animals that are in the shows are either rescued animals or animals that were born in captivity and can't be given the training that they would need to survive in the wild.
Right. And actually, I think it's more the latter.
I think at this point, it's more of the latter, but that those orca came from pods and almost, I mean, and all right, I'm gonna go out. There's a different thing too. There's an aquarium on the Gulf that we've been to.
On the Gulf,
Clearwater, maybe.
Is there the Florida aquarium in Tampa?
No, not in Tampa. Not an aquarium, but a place where they really kind of specialize in rehabilitating seals and sea otters and turtles. I think it's Clearwater. I think it's in Clearwater.
Moat Marine.
We did a show there.
We
did a show there.
All right, 17 years, back through my memories.
Yeah, it's back when Julie was with us, because Julie was there with us that day, and Sean was there, and Julie was there.
And in the Gulf of Mexico.
In the Gulf, it's on the Gulf side.
All right, I don't know. But there's a ton of those type of places.
I think it was Clearwater Marine Aquarium is, I think, what it was.
Okay.
But it's not an aquarium. I mean, it really isn't. It's a facility where they rehabilitate, and they constantly need money. They're always out there, you know, banging the drum, trying to get money, and it's a struggle.
Yeah.
Now, compare that and contrast that against the SeaWorld-type experience where mm-hmm. these animals, which either they're dead or they're here. That's the deal. They're either dead or they're here, and they're helping to pay their way for their rehabilitation.
Well, they're ambassadors for their species.
They're
all these people that can't see these animals out in the wild, like we as divers have the opportunity to do if even we're lucky enough.
How many times have you seen an orca?
Once.
Just talked about the fact that you dive
mm-hmm.
a lot, and you've seen an orca in the water.
Well, no, I saw like eight or nine.
You've seen it for about
20 minutes. One dive
so badly.
In the Galapagos. Life-changing experience, amazing encounter, and you could never plan
anything
like that.
I've seen dolphin in the wild, in the water, once, and I was in the water, and they were in the water,
yeah.
But I wasn't close to them.
Right, but that would be the preference, I think, for anybody. You would love to be able to see them in that environment, their environment, their habitat, their rules,
right.
You know, and that kind of thing. That's a perfect world.
Well, not really their world. Their rules, not all their rules, because these are predators, and I really don't want them to be making the rules.
They are
like
killer whales. True. But regardless.
Well, even dolphin are predators.
You know, the thing is, SeaWorld has its role, and it does, you know, put these animals and gives people an up-close personal look at these animals. And if you go to SeaWorld, there's definitely a conservation mindset that they present to everybody. Now, some people may take that as a circus show or whatever, but I see it. I've seen it time and time again, and there is definitely a conservation message that goes along with putting these animals on display. Now, is it a perfect world? Of course not. But Blackfish was a hatchet job. That's all there is to it. I mean, they canceled a bunch of the concerts this past summer from SeaWorld because these people behind Blackfish petitioned, you know, folks like, you know, Hart and you know, Trace Atkins and some of these acts that were supposed to play during their beer, barbecue, and right. SeaWorld nights or whatever. And they canceled their entire concert series based on this nonsense. And now you have some legislator out in California going, oh, we don't want that. You're going to have to close down. And you're the evil corporate giant making billions off of whales in captivity. How dare you? You know, that's, I'm sorry, that's a bunch of bunk. I think it's unfair.
I do think that the offshoot of this legislation is that the debate will get to be, hopefully, more forward, more front of mind.
Well, so far, no. I would say it is not. Because you just see more of these people using that movie or using that documentary. Here's your excuse of why you got to do this, and you're not hearing the other side. Just my two cents. Take it for what it's worth.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Hi, my name is Matt. Please keep listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This baby's gonna put me through college.
You're way off. I say you're way off this time, son.
And now, here's my dad, Frank the Dive Master.
Well, that brings back memories. Back when I thought this radio show would pay for his college education. As he gets ready to start it next year. Wow. Oh, I feel old. But, you know, at least I'm smiling, kind of. And we're not doing too bad, actually. You know, we'll be celebrating our 17th year on the air, April 1st. It's just around the corner. And, you know, part of those festivities will take place at Beneath the Sea. We're going to be broadcasting from there the week of the 29th, thereabouts. So we look forward to seeing all our Northeast diving friends up there and celebrating our 17-year anniversary on the air. So look for us up there. We got a few little surprises up our sleeve once again for this year's presentation at Beneath the Sea Dive Show. So it'll be a good time for sure. So a couple things. You know, this blackfish thing, I don't know what else there is to say about it other than I wish the issue would go away, but it's hard, you know, from my standpoint to not say anything, because you know, the environmental side of it is that I think a lot of divers believe, and this is just my feeling, that we should leave the critters alone. And I agree. We should leave them alone. We want to see them in their natural environment. We don't want to affect them, you know, leave only bubbles and that kind of thing. But there are situations where that's just not possible, or for the greater good of protecting these species and educating the public about what's going on in our oceans. We can only talk about it so much. And when you actually see them in a place like SeaWorld, you know, it has its role, whether you agree with it or not. If you don't like SeaWorld, it's very simple, I think. You just don't go. You don't patronize the business. But you don't have to put them out of business or threaten their business. If you want to try to educate the public and do a documentary like Blackfish, you know, go for it. I don't have a problem with the people that put out Blackfish. I didn't really understand why it was put on CNN, because I did feel it was just a one-sided presentation on how they felt SeaWorld operated. And I know people, because we're in Orlando, we know people that work there. I've met them over the years, and these people care about these animals way more than I do. I mean more than most people. I mean, they interact with them every day, and they don't do it because it's a job and they're getting filthy rich. That ain't happening, my friends. You talk to any dolphin trainer or whale trainer, they're not doing this because they're making billions of dollars. You know, maybe the, you know, execs at SeaWorld or whatever are not doing too shabby. But the fact of the matter is that the people that work with these animals do this because they love the opportunity to be able to do that and get close to them and learn how they react and how they live, with the idea of like, hey, what can we do to make life on this planet a little bit better for these animals or for their species? That's what I've seen. And that side of it just doesn't get, you know, even mentioned or given any kind of credibility whatsoever to, you know, the producers of Blackfish and the legions of people that follow what has been said on that documentary. You know, it's just a one-sided thing. Garbage in, garbage out. Once again, that's my opinion, and you can take it for what it's worth, but I just don't like the fact that, you know, they're threatening to shut them down as opposed to, like, look, if you don't like it, here's our information on it, here's why we don't like it, don't go. And if, you know, if enough people agree with you, you know, SeaWorld will cease to exist anyway. It ends up last year their revenue was up. And they did quite well, so it evidently didn't affect their bottom line, or at least not to the effect that you would like it to, you would expect to see from what has been said on some of the from some of the talking heads when they're talking about this Blackfish nonsense. So anyway, there you go. That's that. Now flipping back a little bit to some of the video that we've been shooting here. I'm backlogged on a lot of stuff right now. I just released that video from Nevis. And, you know, I'm experimenting with the post-production aspects of video editing and all that kind of stuff. And it's more of just a labor of love. It's kind of a fun little project to put together to let you see a little bit of what we experience when we're out on our little adventures. Of course, we talk about it. We try to paint as best mental picture as we possibly can. And that really is, that's probably suffice in most instances. But it's always nice to get a little video or some pictures and reference for you to kind of take a look if you want to dig deeper into a place that we've been talking about, like Nevis. However, you know, getting these images is a challenge. You know, I mentioned the GoPro cameras. I love working with those. However, you know, the problem with water spots, you know, you don't see this when you're filming this stuff, and then you get the videos, you know, up on your computer and you're starting to edit this stuff and you realize you screwed it all up because there's water drops on it. That's very frustrating. And lick it and dunk it is one option. You know, Captain Patrick from the boat show mentioned Rain-X. That actually is a viable alternative too. And when you think about it, very similar to people who spit in their mask to keep it from defogging, and people who use defog. I'm a defogger. I'm not a big fan of the spitting thing. I think it's kind of, ugh, you know. But, you know, to each his own. And spit works just as good as a lot of defogs in some cases. But it's the same thing. If you lick the front of your GoPro camera, or any camera for that matter, that you're having issues with water droplets on the camera when you're trying to film. And where this really comes into play is not only like a waterfall in Dominica, but, you know, what I find, I love getting video and pictures of our crew as they're jumping off the liveaboard boat that we're on that particular week with Explorer Ventures. So I'll jump in the water. I'll do my giant stride in off the back of the boat. And I'll have my GoPro camera with my light motion lights, and I'll be at the surface. And, of course, you're at the surface. You've already had your camera in the water. And depending on how rough the water is, or wind or whatever, you know, water splashes up on your camera. You can dunk it, and that's when you rinse it back up, and you know, try to get it, see if you can get as many water droplets off of your camera as possible. Sometimes you succeed. As I have found, most of the time I do not. And being that I can't wear my cheaters underwater or when I'm diving half the time, unless I'm wearing my mask, I won't even notice that I have water droplets on it. But Rain-X is another alternative. And if you treat your GoPro housing or any housing with that, you can keep those water droplets forming and ruining your shot. So there. Yeah, I'm learning. Maybe you are, too. That's what we're all about right here on Scuba Radio. Right? Right.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Talking about here a little bit today are some of the things that I've been learning as I've edited the last couple videos here for scubaradio.com. I got this Nevis video, and this video, by the way, is a segment of the show that we broadcast from Nevis, and we were walking down the beach in front of the Four Seasons Resort and recording the radio show at the same time, and we filmed it as we were recording it. Actually, the Scuba Cowboy had the Quick Pod, which is a pole cam, a GoPro pole cam, extended out in front of us, and he held it as we walked down the beach and did the show. Now, it's moving all over the place, but, you know, it worked kind of, it had potential, even though it is jumpy a little bit here and there. I mean, he's doing the best he can,
you know what?
Walking.
I've heard you say that a couple of times.
Yeah.
There are a couple of times where I see that there's some real motion to it.
Right.
But this is not Blair Witch Project.
No.
It's not Steadicam work.
Right. But
it's not terrible. It is not that bad.
Yeah.
I know you've been editing it. I know that you've got some where you're filming on a tripod and mm-hmm. somewhere, you know, you're moving
the
camera
around. Well, I'm getting
more
and more discerning on what I want to get. And
yeah, it's not that bad.
Well,
it's not going to give anybody motion sickness watching it.
Well, correct. And sometimes that adds
to
a nice little
stop
effect.
Stop bad-mouthing.
Well,
I'm
looking at ways to improve, and there's a new device that actually I found on Kickstarter. Because, you know, when you get into...
Oh, I understand now. You're just trying to talk your wife into you spending more money on it.
Well, equipment. Yeah.
I understand now. Never mind. Forget
there's
I said anything.
I
you
found...
need this. That was terrible. That was the worst thing I ever saw.
Well, I need an easy gimbal. I found this thing on Kickstarter. It's a little handheld GoPro thing. A gimbal is, you know, like in real TV and film... You mount your cameras to this device that actually moves with motors depending on how you're angling the camera and keeps it smooth. It's like
gyroscopic.
Yeah. And there's a company that has just come out with this thing that is a small little GoPro gimbal they put out through Kickstarter that is starting to ship now. And I think I need to get my hands on one of those. And then I'll make the videos even that much better. And of course, yeah, but it'll cost money. So $600 thereabouts for something to make those shots more steady. Is it worth it?
Not at all.
Okay.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I've written quite a bit of X-Men fan fiction. Captain Mutato is half man, half mermaid. So he can fight crime as a man and make love as a mermaid. Most of my writing involves the latter.
Can't swim, so I took a boat to an island so remote, only Johnny Depp has ever been to it before. I stayed there till the air was clear. I was boiling out of tears. Then I saw you washed up on the shore.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yes, we have traveling mermaids with us. We will have mermaids in tow, strung up accordingly. Not necessarily traveling via stringer, but we will have them with us at the Beneath the Sea Dive Show here at the end of the month. That's the 29th, 30th of March, I believe, that weekend. It's Secaucus, New Jersey, the Expo Center there at the Meadowlands. Really, really cool event. Largest diving event in the Northeast, if not the country. That show and the scuba show in Long Beach are neck and neck as far as being, I don't know, the largest in square footage or the most people or whatever. I mean, they're both huge, huge shows. And I love going there and, you know, hanging with the divers up there. And you know, we're set up right in the lobby when people are walking in like, "Hey, Greg, hey, where you been?" I'm like, "I've been right here," you know, and then I just fit right in, you know, so I kind of know the lingo. And we are giving away a live aboard trip from Explorer Ventures this year once again at the Beneath the Sea Dive Show. So if you're in that neck of the woods at the end of the month here in March, make sure you come out and see us at the Beneath the Sea Dive Show. It'll be a fun time for all. And like I said, we have a nice liveaboard trip to give away from Explorer Ventures, which probably will be a spot on our next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. We have not locked down the dates yet. We're trying to do that before.
I'm available.
Yeah, basically, we're giving away Bill's spot. Yeah,
Hold on. I am available to go.
To Beneath the Sea?
No.
To register to win the spot that we had set aside for you that we're going to give away instead? Yeah. You're welcome. Come on, Bill. Seriously. It's 17 years. Surely you've learned by now.
I will never
that
ever
we always
learn.
Put our listeners above you and your happiness.
You know, that is true. Really, at some point in time, I should start to learn.
At some point. Maybe this will be the year. You never know.
I would not put money on it.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's a great show. It really is a good show. And it'll be interesting to see what the weather is going to be like this year, because Beneath the Sea is one of these shows, you know, at the end of the March, the same time every year, and it can be wildly different year to year. So, you know, one year it'll be like springtime weather in the 60s, 70s, maybe even warmer. And matter of fact, last year was really nice.
Okay, and then what happens the next year after the really nice weather?
Well, we had a lot of snow, and actually I kind of enjoyed it because I was only there for a couple days.
Yeah, the Northeast has been getting pounded this winter.
I think
this is probably going to be another one of those.
You know, I can deal with it as a Florida boy and a warm water wuss like myself. I don't mind going up to cold places for a couple days, which is what that'll be.
Snow is nice to visit.
Yeah. You know,
and you don't have to drive anywhere.
Don't have to drive. We just fly. We're actually flying into the city. Mm-hmm. We're going to go check in with our friends at Sirius
right into,
XM and and say hi to our buddies up there that we know, and you know, play in the city for a day or so.
Say hi to Howard for me.
Yeah, well, and then we go over and do, you know, go across the river and hang in Secaucus for a couple days. So it's a good time, but yeah, the weather can be wildly different. I just don't know. You know, one thing I never can get a clear picture of what the divers do there in New Jersey, and maybe that's what I need to kind of ask a few more poignant questions to some of those folks when we're up there this year. Because, you know, when we're at the Chicago show at Our World Underwater in February, I mean, it's the dead of winter. It is always cold and miserable, but the divers are so energetic. They're very vibrant and just love the sport. I mean, it's interesting to see that you would see such a passionate diver that lives in Chicago. But what they do, they hop in a plane at O'Hare International Airport, and they fly down to Cozumel or wherever they go every few months and do these big dive trips. But as far as there locally, they have the Great Lakes, and they can do that maybe a little bit in the summer. But even then, it's deathly cold, if you ask me. So they're very passionate about their diving and obviously do a little bit of the dry suit stuff and a little bit of, you know, that cold water thing. Now, the folks in Jersey, though, they do have, you know, they have the ocean up there that they can go to, you know, Atlantic City off the coast up there, and they got some wrecks that they do. But I've never really talked to them that much about what is it really like. Is the visibility okay? Is it other, you know, I always joke, like, you're looking around for things like guns and dead bodies. You know, I mean, that is unfair stereotype, I guess, for a Florida boy who's spoiled rotten with his diving exploits just, a few minutes away.
Right.
But obviously they do have diving.
They don't have warm water reefs, there's no question.
It's not going to be warm water, but they definitely have diving up there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get the wrecks and things like that, but I don't know if there's a lot of reef or how far offshore they have to go, or what kind of visibility is typical for that part of the country. I don't know. I mean, I guess I need to dig a little deeper and kind of get past that initial discussion of what is the water temp.
Can I ask a different question?
Okay.
Which may or may not be related. How many times have you been to beneath the sea? 17 years you've been doing this radio show.
Yeah, probably just about. I mean, we started going to that show.
At least
definitely.
10 years?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've been there.
What the hell is wrong with your brain?
What do you mean?
10 times you go there, not once has it occurred to you, you should ask somebody there what they actually do for diving.
Well, I have.
You just stand there bragging about you going to the Caribbean and to Fiji and to the Galapagos and say, hey, look at me. I got a radio show and I go diving nice places. Must suck to be you.
Well,
is that all you do?
They go there, too. They got plenty of airlift out of JFK and LaGuardia and Newark.
Come on down with me. We'll go someplace neat.
That's right.
Screw you people.
That's
in your
one
cold,
of the best
water.
Places to be in the country if you want to go diving, actually, just from that standpoint, because they got usually pretty good economical airlift from that part of the country to anywhere you want to go. So from that standpoint, it's not a
great
bad
diving.
Gig.
Great diving
yeah.
out of JFK.
Well, I mean, it's similar to what I was saying about Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got O'Hare International. They get it wherever they need to go.
Have you ever
been
to Bermuda?
But there it's even cheaper. Bermuda, Bahama, boy, I think I'm oughta. No. Bermuda is actually, that's funny you bring that up because I was just talking about that this week.
You were?
Yeah, because I have not been to Bermuda.
I'm interested in what Bermuda is like.
Why?
I'm interested. It appeals to me. I find it intriguing. Because it's not as far south as I always kind of think of it. I think of it as
right.
being very tropical, but yeah. it's not at a tropical elevation. It's not at a tropical latitude.
Yeah. Right. It's a little farther north.
It's
But it's off by itself. So it's
it
its own little island.
And it's not an island. It is literally hundreds of islands, but they're all really close. It's not like Hawaii, which is spread out.
Mm.
It's essentially one landmass. But there's a bunch of islands that make up this landmass.
Yeah. You know, Bermuda is definitely a dive destination. They have diving available there. But I don't know that it's been like one of the big
I wonder if
elements they push hard.
I wonder
if it's like
the Galapagos. I mean, because you've got maybe pelagics as opposed to reef
stuff, nothing like that. No,
you sure?
No, yeah, no, okay. It's not like that. It's more like I don't know. I've heard it compared to maybe like the Turks and Caicos, but as far as marketing wise, you know, it's like Jamaica. Jamaica is not necessarily an island that they push diving hard. They have diving available in Jamaica.
Come on. They're too busy smoking the ganja.
Exactly. But it's,
and the Bob Marley merchandise.
And there is diving you can do in Jamaica, but it's not necessarily, you know, the main thing that draws people to the island for sure. And Bermuda is a little different in that regard, but I think if I, well, people have told me that have been there that it's more flat and arid like the Turks. Does that sound right? Does it sound flat? Bermuda, flat, maybe.
Sounds short.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
We gotta
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer. You know, all this video stuff I've been doing the last week or two, you know, it's very time-consuming and very frustrating at times, especially when, you know, you film something with your GoPro cameras and the light and motion lights, and when you're filming it, you're like, oh, my God, this is going to be such a great shot. I can't wait to edit this up and turn it into a great video and let everybody see what I see. And then you get it into your computer, start editing on Final Cut Pro, and realize, oh, man, the lighting wasn't right, or it's too grainy because I didn't have the angle of my lights shown the way that they should have been, or, you know, some little minor detail. And it drives you insane.
Oh, that's the thing that makes you crazy.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It is.
Yeah, try being
you
locked
know
in this
how...
room for 52 weeks a year. Try that on for size. Come on, try it.
No. Why would I want to put myself through that aggravation?
All work and no play makes Bill crazy!
Yeah, but that's why you're so good. You know, we channel that frustration into quality radio.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we tell ourselves.
You know, what's interesting is you bring that up, though, because I've seen the videos that you posted, the last two videos that you've posted, and it seems like a lot of work. It doesn't seem like you get to enjoy diving because you're working so hard at doing the video. I feel the same way about lobster hunting. Because although I know you love lobster hunting, it seems like it's work, and it's not any of the things that I find enjoyable about diving.
Well, lobster hunting is just a blast. That is just pure enjoyment. That is so much fun. Now, but you're right about the video stuff. You know, for the longest time, when we first started our show, remember Dick?
Yeah.
He used to love doing photography.
Yes,
he was way into it. Mm-hmm. And I just, when we first started the show, I was like, you know what? I see all these photographers. I see how they're so, you know, mesmerized by their gear. It's flooding all the time. It costs thousands of dollars. And I see them, you know, coming up from a dive after they've flooded their housing and throwing crap all over the place. I'm like, I don't want to be that person. And here we are 17 years later, and I've kind of become that person a little bit.
Right. But you know how expensive it was, so you don't throw it.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's much cheaper now.
Okay.
That's why I got into it. You know, I was shooting much higher quality stuff, but I was like, you know, well, this stuff costs too much. It's too much aggravation. It's too big. They're giving me trouble when I'm traveling with it. And then all of a sudden these GoPros come out. They're smaller, lighter. They're getting great images. Okay. I like this. And, you know, even the light motion lights are not that big. And they're, you know, the new Gobi lights that they have. Are very economical and can double up as a dive light or a surface light or whatever you need to do. So really it doesn't cost that much to do this stuff. You still have the aggravation of things going wrong, like I was just saying about, you know, getting that footage. And that does kind of make you crazy. And that part of it is a little frustrating, but it's fairly easy to do now.
But though, do you find your dives enjoyable when you're doing video? I mean, do you find that part fun?
You know, I do, because it's added a new element to what to accomplish on your dive. Now, are there times when I wish, like, you know, I really don't want to take my camera down. Mm-hmm. But now there's this thing in the back of my head that always says, all right, Greg, you know, if you don't take your camera, this is the one where, you know, the whale shark's going to show up and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, from that standpoint, yeah, there have been times when I'm like,
but if you
really
bring your camera, you're filming.
If there's
ever
something
bring
to
your
film,
camera just in case.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm just saying. That's why you have
asking.
To. Once you get into this, you know, element of filming and doing it, you have to bring your camera with you every time. Which, you know, would I like to just go down on a dive and not have a camera, and not mess with anything? Yeah, I miss that, but now I can't do that because I know the time that I don't bring my camera will be when there's something that I definitely want to film. Now, there's been many times I've taken my camera down and I don't shoot anything. So I've gotten very, I don't know.
Selective.
Yeah, very selective. And you know, I mean, you know, when a diver, you know, your buddy goes, hey, there's a flounder. And I'm, you know, like, hey, come over. And they rattle their shaker. Hey, come get this. And I'm like, you know, I get about, you know, 10 hours of footage of flounder. And puffer fish and, you know, even nurse sharks and things like that. So,
I'm good. Sorry. Not working.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, it's frustrating, but it's also fun because when you do see stuff that you think you want to get, you know, a picture of or video of, this is the way to go. And the next step that I've been taking, you know, I've went straight video, and now I'm not even shooting any stills, and I'm trying to tweak things.
Just grab the still out
I'm
of
just
the video.
Grabbing a frame from the video, and that's working pretty good, not quite as good as I'd like it, but I think there's some more settings and things that I'm digging into, and definitely I'll share when I get that under control, like what setting on the GoPros to make sure that if indeed that's what I'm doing, should I be shooting at a different resolution? Like right now I'm shooting at 2.7K. It goes up to 4K, which is the new, you know, super screen.
Takes up more space.
Takes up way more space. But, you know, with a 64 gig card or 128 gig card, you could shoot that. But does that make a big difference for getting a frame still? I don't know. That's what I haven't really deciphered yet.
So when you were in Deepwater Key,
mm-hmm.
that's what you were doing. You're shooting 2.7?
Yes. 30 frames per second. That was the setting, wide angle, and it works pretty good. There's still a little tweaking I'm working on.
You want to go to the website, scubaradio.com, check out his video from Deepwater Key. Also check out the website, Deepwater Key, which is K.
C-A-Y.com. Yeah, they got some dive specials, a family dive special, 3-night, 4-day special. That you want an experience like you've never had before, you need to go and book it. Call them up. Just go to their website, call them up, and book it. You'll thank me later. It'll change your life, and you'll have a dive adventure of a lifetime. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good night, everybody.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.